Appendix to Argument 2, A Note on the Dajjal. A difficulty is often raised about the prophecy relating to the Dajjal. It is said that the Dajjal was to appear before the promised Messiah. Therefore, as the Dajjal has not yet appeared, the time of the promised Messiah has not yet come. It must be remembered that the prophecy relating to the Dajjal, like all prophecies, is subject to interpretation. We read in the Holy Quran, وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. And the sun and the moon, I saw them making obeisance to me. إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ. I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering thee. The references are to the dreams of Joseph and Abraham respectively. Both dreams are well known. Both are symbolic of events which they prophesied. It is not fitting for Muslims to treat prophecies as anything other than symbolic descriptions of the future. The prophecy about the Dajjal cannot be understood except in the light of other traditions and in the light of the general laws of God. If it is true, as the traditions say, that the promised Messiah is to be preceded by the Dajjal, and if it is true that the advent of the promised Messiah is to be marked by the dominance of Christianity, does it not follow that the prophecy about the Dajjal relates to the power and overlordship of Christianity in our time? The prophecies are saying, in effect, that the Dajjal and Christianity will be powerful forces and that both will appear sometime before the promised Messiah. Two powerful forces due to appear simultaneously could easily be one and the same. Two different forces cannot acquire dominance at the same time. The difficulty can be solved by assuming that the two names are two different names for the same thing. A very important consideration which leads to this conclusion is that the Holy Prophet, on whom be peace and the blessings of God, instructed his followers to turn to the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf, chapter 18, when they confront the menace of the Dajjal. The first 10 verses of this chapter contain a refutation of Christianity. One of the verses says, وَنْيُنْذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. And that it may warn those who say, Allah has taken unto himself a son. The object of the revelation of the Holy Quran is to warn mankind. Among other things, the purpose of the Holy Book is to warn those who attribute a physical son to God. The verse is, according to the Holy Prophet, provide guidance for Muslims to meet the menace of the Dajjal. But they contain a refutation of Christianity. Does this not prove that the Dajjal and Christianity are one and the same thing? Treatment of a disease must be relevant to the disease. If the Dajjal and Christianity were two different things, the Holy Prophet would not have recommended the reading of verses of the Holy Book which relate not to the Dajjal but to Christianity. The reading of these verses would have been next to useless if they did not relate to the Dajjal. This proves, therefore, that even according to the Holy Prophet, the appearance of the Dajjal is the appearance of Christian propagandists. The greatest obstacle to a true understanding of the subject of the Dajjal is the preconception, from which most people seem to suffer, that the Dajjal is one powerful individual, a kind of superman. This he is not, even according to Arabic dictionaries. To quote two authorities, أو من الدجال بالتشديد للرفقة العظيمة تغطي الأرض بكثرة أهلها وقيل هي الرفقة تحمل المتاع للتجارة. The Dajjal is the name of a large party which, through force of numbers, will spread over the whole earth. And according to some authorities, it is the name of a party which keeps moving from one part of the world to another, the goods and materials in which it trades. الدجال الرفقة العظيمة. The Dajjal is a large party. These descriptions apply to Christian propagandists today. They transport their books from one part of the world to another. Together with other forms of entertainment, they also promote business activities of various kinds wherever they go. One meaning of the word Dajjal is pretender. To whom is this description more applicable than to the Christian propagandists of our time? They present the man Jesus so that he should seem like God. True, the Dajjal has other signs. He was to be one-eyed and was to have with him a donkey of inordinate size. Clouds of smoke were to be seen in front of the animal and behind it. These descriptions are symbolic. The one-eyed Dajjal is a group or party of men devoid of spiritual vision. The right side in spiritual symbolism indicates religion and virtue. If the Dajjal is without his right eye, he symbolizes men incapable of spiritual understanding and a spiritual view of things. The donkey of the Dajjal symbolizes the railway, the most typical of modern means of transport. It was invented by Christians in Christian countries. When the railway whistles, the sound resembles the braying of a donkey. It uses fire and water as fuel, and clouds of smoke are before and behind it. Christian propagandists use it for transporting themselves to different parts of the world. Nobody can take exception to the interpretation of symbols and prophecies. We have for this the authority of the Holy Prophet himself. In the Hadith, we read that one day the Holy Prophet went to see Ibn Sayyad, a man credited with strange experiences. He was with him for some time and asked him questions. From the answers to the questions, it appeared that Ibn Sayyad had some satanic or self-caused intuitions. Umar, who accompanied the Holy Prophet, drew his sword, saying on oath that Ibn Sayyad was the Dajjal of the prophecy. The Holy Prophet, on whom be peace, stopped Umar. قال عمر يا رسول الله أتأذن لي في أن أضرب عنقه؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن يكو هو لا تسلط عليه وإن لم يكو هو فلا خير لك في قتله. Hazrat Umar asked the Messenger of Allah, peace be on him, permit me to strike his head with my sword. The Messenger of Allah, peace be on him, replied, if he is not the Dajjal, it is wrong to kill him. If he is, it is not for you, but for the Messiah to kill him. The incident proves that the signs of the Dajjal mentioned in earlier prophecies are symbolic and can stand interpretation. When Umar declared Ibn Sayyad to be the Dajjal, the Holy Prophet did not contradict him. He could have cited the signs which he himself had narrated about the Dajjal, that the Dajjal would have Ghafara written on his forehead, that he would have one eye, that he would fail to reach Medina, and so on. These signs were not present in Ibn Sayyad. He did not have one eye. He did not have Ghafara written on his forehead. This important inscription was not visible even to the Holy Prophet, let alone to others. And he was present in Medina. The question is, if the signs about the Dajjal are not symbols, if they have to be taken literally, why did not the Holy Prophet contradict Umar straight away? Why did he hesitate? Why did he not tell Umar that the Dajjal was to have one eye? He was to have Kafara written on his forehead and was not to be seen in Medina. So it was futile to call Ibn Sayyad the Dajjal of prophecy. The fact that the Holy Prophet did not contradict Umar at once, that he at least thought it possible that Ibn Sayyad was the Dajjal, proves that, according to the Holy Prophet, signs about the Dajjal were capable of interpretation, that they were not to be taken literally, but could have a meaning very different from their surface meaning. If even the Holy Prophet believed that the signs of the Dajjal can stand interpretation, nobody else has the right to turn his back upon the facts of contemporary history and demand a literal fulfillment of those signs, ignoring their obvious symbolic significance.